I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottled prisons. Been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian, but shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings, but I can't stop the pull. Our elections are travesties paid for in full by a gang full of sellouts who worship a bull. Why can't it all just be free and equal?
Hi, this is Christina Tobin with the Free and Equal Network, and I'm very honored to introduce you to an amazing woman today. I get goosebumps every time I'm around her, the way she speaks and what she does and what she stands for in the world. She's a well-known author. She's published 10 books. Her name's Marianne Williamson. She has had, I think, yes, 4 New York Times bestsellers. You may know her from a book of A Return to Love, Healing the Soul of America, Reclaiming Our Voices as Spiritual Citizens. She's known, world-renowned for her work in the transformational field. And now what really sets her apart from so many is that she is standing up for the people and getting engaged in our electoral process. She's running as an independent in California's 33rd Congressional District, a House of Representative races. Marianne Williamson, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Christina.
Thank you. And we've crossed paths, I think, 1, 2, 3 times, or a couple of times in the last week or so. And for all of our listeners, many of them, Many of them know who you are, but for those who don't, can you tell them a little bit more about your background and who you are in great detail?
Well, I began giving lectures in Los Angeles 30 years ago based on a set of books called A Course in Miracles. So the whole idea of spirituality, philosophy, transformational wisdom has always been of great, it's more than of great interest to me. It has been the crux of my career. And I was very involved when the AIDS crisis burst onto the scene, founded an organization in Los Angeles called Project Angel Food. It is a Meals on Wheels program that was formed to serve homebound people with AIDS and today still serves 1,000 people a day in the L.A. area homebound with life-challenging illnesses. And I founded the Department of Peace campaign, and I'm on the board of an organization called Results, which deals with hunger and poverty both in the United States and around the world, and creating the political will to end those things. So I've always not straddled two worlds. It hasn't seemed like they were separate worlds at all. But I've always had a dimension to my work that had to do with political and social activism. And this last year, I made the decision and announced on October 20th that I'm running for the U.S. House of Representatives, as you mentioned, Congressional District 33 here in California. So I don't feel that I've changed careers, but I feel that I'm extending my work. I feel, as I think you feel also, and I have great admiration for you and what you do, Christina, I think we share a sense of the urgency involved with in America today, a sense that we are bearing witness as we speak to the de-democratization of the United States, and that we have become a government for all intents and purposes of a few of the people, by a few of the people, and for a few of the people. And as Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said, you can either have large amounts of money concentrated in the hands of a very few, or you can have democracy. You cannot have both. A friend of mine put it the other day this way. He said, the government treats democracy like it is subservient to capitalism, but capitalism should be subservient to democracy. So I'm concerned, as are you and millions of other people also, in what is happening in this country, the way there is, in my mind, a kind of citizen lockout. The average citizen locked out politically, locked out educationally, and locked out economically. And I've come to believe that this isn't going to change unless we change it. And I think that is the point that people like you and I feel so clear about. Looking to the political status quo to fix this situation has become absurd because they created it, and they depend on it, and they work within it. So that's why I'm running as an independent candidate. I share your absolute disdain concerning the chokehold that the major two political parties, this kind of duopoly that they have, this chokehold they have on the political system. It sucks the oxygen out of our public discourse. And the greatest moments in American history, you know, if you actually look at the narrative of social justice movements in the United States, great movements came from the people. They didn't come from major political parties. They were picked up by those parties. But they don't, that kind of passion doesn't start within a calcified institutional corner that is only looking to protect its own power. That's not where you're going to find deliverance from the problems. That's not where we're going to find a new conversation. And so I'm running. That's what's happening here.
Again, goosebumps. And, you know, several years ago, I had envisioned, really 5 years ago, that a congressional candidate would rise. And several years ago, I actually have worked as a campaign manager for a congressional candidate out in New York. And he had a very left-right paradigm of working libertarian, Greens, you know, Republican, and Democratic, and coming together. And that campaign wasn't meant to be. It was very clear to me at that point. I felt that it would be a woman, to be honest, that would rise for the congressional seat and in the sense of inspiring many others throughout the United States to run. And I wanted to hit that a little bit in the interview of listening to your promotional videos, which are just amazing. You can go to Marianne for Congress, F-O-R, Congress.com to check out these videos. Again, Marianne for, F-O-R, Congress.com. And I wanted to ask you, in your run for office, do you hope to inspire many others to run for Congress as independents throughout the United States? And if so, do you feel that would be revolutionary if independents were to take back Congress?
Well, I more than hope it. I mean, it is central to the entire notion we're dealing with here. One woman sent to Congress is not going to change the world. The kind of movement that we need, as you're indicating, has to do with opening a space for more and more. If we have 18 independent congresspeople, that would be enough to break the chokehold. Even 18 would be enough to break the chokehold. So absolutely, I'm hoping that my campaign, you know, and hopefully my win, you know, I think that for people who do resonate with the ideas that we're talking about here, I hope they will feel moved to support the campaign no matter where they live, you know, with at least, you know, $5, anything, so that we can create the political heft to manifest a container here that would make other people dealing with the same ideas that we're dealing with, makes, you know, give them hope and inspiration so that they'll think, you know, it can be done. You know, she did it out in California. She did it out in District 33, because that's how things start. So I think that all of us, the work you're doing, the work all of us are doing, I'm sure the work a lot of your listeners are doing, we're all doing our piece, you know, we're all doing our part as best we can, stepping up in the ways that we feel moved to step up, but all as part of an effort, a collective effort, all of us contributing in our own individual ways to this new field of possibility for American democracy. And I think those of us who are doing this, as I said before, feel the urgency of this. We can't wait any longer.
You running for office gives me hope like never before. I've always had hope, but at a whole nother level. And I know and I feel that our listeners that are listening today and many in the future will resonate with that. And being at a recent event and seeing you speak, I saw and I've seen a lot of, I don't see you as a politician, Marianne. I see you as an individual, spiritual, and author. Again, New York Times bestseller, decades of hard, amazing, loving work, and taking a stand for the people and being there for the people. You're not a politician. You're a person that wants to make a difference in our country, to save our country. And I wanted you to go a little bit deeper into your campaign of how you're, you recently, held a protest or was a part of a protest at a Beverly Hills fundraiser. I see the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Can you tell us a bit about that and why you're against that, the free trade agreement in great detail, and a little bit more about your platform and why you're so, I mean, you're so seemingly an individual I think many people would support and vote for in California's 33rd.
Well, thank you, Christina. Your support of the campaign gives me hope and inspiration. So please know that I'm honored and excited, because the campaign's success absolutely depends on the idea that it's not just me thinking these things and it's not just me willing to step up help make some changes. So thank you, truly, from the bottom of my heart. In terms of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I absolutely see it as a multinational corporate coup. I mean, it's stunning in its anti-democratic flavor. It overrides U.S. sovereignty. It overrides our national sovereignty. I mean, if there's something in there saying that Monsanto can develop its GMOs and then the United States passes a law that says that we don't want GMOs, then Monsanto could actually sanction the United States of America. It could actually fine the United States of America. It's really quite unbelievable. And in addition to that, of course, it signs on to situations that we may or may not find agreeable in terms of the treatment of workers, both here and around the world. It's NAFTA on steroids. I mean, calling these things free trade, free to who? You know, these free, so-called free trade agreements. Multinational corporations have no particular allegiance to the American worker, understandably, and I believe that they are just one of the many ways that the U.S. government has come to sell out rather than advocate for the well-being and basic rights of the American people. And I read an article not too long ago that it's already been, to some extent, derailed. It's certainly not going to just sail through quickly and easily the way the president had wanted because of the public scrutiny that is now being given because of programs like this, because of conversations like this that make people go to the Internet and read on Trans-Pacific Partnership. People going, what the hell is going on here? And so I'm very happy about that. A employee of the Commerce Department was quoted as saying that one of the reasons why they weren't even allowing our own congresspeople and senators even read the thing. I mean, this is just, it's so unbelievable. You don't even know how to respond to that. But one of the reasons the employee said that they didn't want the congresspeople to read it was because they thought if they did that, they probably wouldn't allow it to go through. So the only thing that stopped this trend is the eternal vigilance of the American people. And that's what our founders told us. You know, I do think that there's been this lockout. I do think that there's been this kind of thievery of some basic democratic rights, whether it has to do with NSA spying or National Defense Authorization Act, Patriot Act, and so forth. But I also think that in ways many of us are realizing, we left the doors open, we left the windows open. Now, that might not be true of many people in your audience, because people in your audience already have an understanding, for the most part, of what's been going on here. But I think for many Americans, it's kind of a 11th hour waking up. And it's okay. I mean, it is the 11th hour. It's not midnight yet. But I think a lot of people are waking up and going, holy cow, we need to act, and we need to act now. And I think one of the ways that we're acting is through mounting actual candidacies, such as mine, not mine only, where people are speaking to these things and enough of us getting together to support these campaigns that they can become winning campaigns. And then, like I said, you have 18 people in Congress who are independent voices talking from this perspective, then we're going to see some stuff really begin to change in the United States.
Oh, wonderful, Marianne. And I think that, again, as even Dr. Ron Paul has stated in press conferences, that congressional races are key. The House of Representatives races are key. A mentor of mine, Richard Winger, Ballot Access News, election law expert, he's really almost like a dad to me, has testified over 300 cases to better election laws and ballot access throughout the United States. He says, if we could take back Congress, that would be truly revolutionary, he told me a couple weeks ago. And so on that note, we have built a platform here at Free and Equal Elections. It's been a lot of work in coming, and we're kicking off the United We Stand Festival next year, May 10th at UCLA. And Marianne, I am so thankful you're a keynote speaker for that. I cannot thank you. I don't, from the bottom of my heart, of being a part of this movement, we've built this platform for you, and I am partisan in the sense towards supporting honest candidates. It doesn't matter independents, just honest candidates that want to represent the people. So I wholeheartedly welcome you to be a part of that in May, and thank you for being a part of it.
Well, thank you, Christina. Thank you for putting on the event. Thank you for giving me that opportunity to speak. And, you know, this is all, as we know, a collective effort, a collective field of energy. And that's what a movement is. This is not about soloists so much as it's about a new song that's being sung. It's about a new choir of citizens. And it's exciting to work with you, to see what you're doing, to be part of what you're doing. And I think if enough of us are inspired to do our part and step up and step out of our comfort zones where necessary, we're going to do something extraordinary here. Let us not be the first generation that just wimped out on what needed to be done. You know, the abolitionists abolished slavery and the suffragettes gave women the right to vote, civil rights movement, got rid of the Jim Crow laws. The United States needs another fundamental course correction, and it's our turn. We need to make this happen.
Well, thank you, Marianne, for taking a stand for what is right. I know some people are a bit confused. Why she's done this? Why is she doing that? And I'm like, well, because she cares about our world, about the United States of America, about the people. And they're like, oh. And so you're really helping people to wake up before that 11th hour. Give yourself more credit. It's before the 11th hour. And, you know, you'll be on stage there with Playing for Change and to Public Enemy, really underground. They've stuck to their roots with lyrics, very well respected, to founding members of Wu-Tang Clan, that is, and Rooftop Revolutionaries, the Sounds of Solidarity, you know, all different levels of music coming together. And speakers like Dr. Jill Stein, who ran for president as a Green, and Gary Johnson, Libertarian. I've been emailing with Dennis Kucinich for a while. I hope he'll be a part of it. I've spoken to Dr. Ron Paul and Ralph Nader. These men have paved the way, Bernie Sanders, for a movement, a calling to ignite, to wake up the people through music, spirituality, the arts, and innovation and technology, and really to shift and recognize that we need to take back our government by running for office and provide the tools to give these candidates like yourselves a truly free and equal chance of winning. And you know, I love in your speech just finally how you mentioned the Constitution has no mention of parties. Marianne, I have never heard anyone else say that in person, at least, except myself for the last year. So it was so refreshing in your speech to hear you say that a week or so ago. The Constitution has no mention of parties, and that's where we stand at Free and Equal. If you know, parties as they become larger, even the third parties I've seen on the inside nationally with the Libertarian and Green, they inevitably become infiltrated at the national level, and the state parties locally, they're left hanging. And so I really love that you're running as an independent, and we're so in sync, and Free and Equal, we're here to offer you, as well as all honest candidates, a platform to help overcome those odds. And I think that you truly have a great chance of winning, because the huge game changer is not only of movement supporting and backing you, which I hope will help in bringing all of these groups and organizations together, but social media technology and the youth, you know, making it fun. And so, Marianne, on that note, do you have anything? Would you like to plug some websites, you know, your race, anything else you have to say, please? Go ahead.
Sure. As I mentioned before, the website is MarianneForCongress.com. It can also be reached at MarianneWilliamsonForCongress.com. And I hope that people who resonate with the message of the campaign, which is everything that you and I have both been talking about here today, will support it. Support it with their Facebook and with their Twitter pages. Support it with talking to their friends. Support it with social media. And support it with their dollars. You know, in order to get money out of politics, we're going to have to mount real campaigns based on that issue, and we can't do that unless we're competitive. So, you know, I agree with what you said. There's such a buzz about this stuff now. And I think a lot of people feel, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money to give, or that doesn't feel right, which is fine. I mean, if everybody who hears this message today and feels an internal yes in their heart, sends $5. That's really all I'm asking. If everybody who hears this and goes, yeah, I think that too, gives $5, I feel that I'll be able to be competitive, so I hope people will do that. We'll go to the website, we'll read it, and we'll think about what to do next to help me spread the word. You know, you and I, Christina, are not backed by institutional power. I think we're backed by, you know, the ideas in the Constitution, but we're not backed by the two political parties, obviously, and their money and their institutional authority. We're backed by people who believe as we do. And so if people will do that and put this on their social media and tell their friends, we have a primary election here on June 3rd. And if people in this area will spread the word, get involved, get registered, get their friends registered, something beautiful could happen here. And I'm doing everything I can to step it up and make that happen. And if enough people join with me in that effort, we can win this thing.
Oh, wonderful, Marianne. And in time, I do see parties fading away and the influences of money and politics fading away as well. We're not there yet. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit, but we are supportive of more voices and more choices. And that means supporting you, Marianne, at least myself individually. And so I thank you so much for your time today. It's just been an honor getting to know you. You're just as real in this interview as you are in person. And so thank you for everything that you stand for.
Thank you so much. God bless you, darling.
And you, I hope you've enjoyed the Free and Equal Network. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Christina Tobin. Until next time, lots of love to all of you. Take care. Our elections are travesties, paid for in full by a gang full of sellouts who worship a bull.